The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, and we're with you on this Tuesday, 19th day of February 2019. I'm going to have Vince Finelli join us here in just a couple of minutes, but let me start out by, I just love this. I get a call this morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. Woke me out of a sound sleep. Now, that sounds late for some people, but it's not late for me because of my schedule. If I get up any earlier than, say, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, come showtime, I'm pretty much Gumby, okay? So I got to keep a sharp mind. So I get up about 11 a.m., and I usually go to bed about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes much later, but at any rate. So I get this call at 10 o'clock this morning from a guy by the name of James Stack complaining to me about the network. And I get this call. Now, remember me telling you the story, folks. The Stattmiller family, we have the Stattmiller curse. It was decided years ago that nobody talks to each other until at least a half hour minimally, generally an hour after we wake up and we start to ambulate around. Because that gives us time to get the oxygen to the brain, settle in, and start the day out right. Because any conversation that happens before that's usually not good. So what do I get? I get this call from this guy, 10 o'clock this morning, complaining that somebody from the network was really rude and hung the phone up on him. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, who is this? And I said, better still, how did you get my private home number? And he goes, well, are you going to let me talk? And I said, I let you talk. You're the one that called me. Who are you? And why did you call me? Why? So I'm short-tempered here, not really happy, and I told this guy where to go. I called the network. And I said, Sam, did you get a call? Yeah, he wanted Chris Hinckley to play 16 Tons as bumper music. And I go, what? So I call this guy back. I have a cup of coffee, fully awake, calmed down. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give this Mr. Stack guy a call. And I did. I said, first off, I said, who are you? Do you know me? Or I said, let me phrase it another way. Do I even know you? Well, I don't know. I said, you don't know, but you think it's okay to call in the morning and wake me up? And I said, using my private home number, where did you get my private home number? Oh, I don't know. I said, so you call me, you don't know me, you don't know where you got the number, but you're calling me and you're complaining? Now I said, I called the network. I said, let me tell you exactly what happened. And the reason I'm telling this story is because callers out there have to know as well. What had happened today, this guy calls in. Sam went to put him on hold, and he hangs up the receiver. Well, it hung up on him. The phone system we have, the little pressure-sensitive switches, they're so worn out that sometimes you got to stab the hell out of the thing to get it to work. So Sam thought it was on hold. He hung up the receiver. And I called the guy, and I told him, I said, this is well, are you going to let me talk? I said, no, I am explaining to you why what you thought was a good reason to call me this morning. I said, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Unbelievable. So I get in the office here. I thought, okay, the day's really starting off good here. Julie opens up an envelope, and it's a donation. You'll never guess how much for it. 2 cents. And in the memo on the check, support of fake news. Now, this guy's name is David James. He lives at 698 Summer Wild Ave, number 2. He's an apartment dweller. Or is that a cellar dweller? I'm not quite sure. In Logan, Utah, 84321. I'm sorry. Did everybody get a chance to get that down and send your 2 cents here to Mr. David James at 698 Summer Wild Ave, number 2, Logan, Utah, 84321. Check was dated 2/14/2019. I said to Julie, I said, you know what? I said, you know what I ought to do? I ought to fudge the figure on this and make it out for 2,000 even. And that would be fraud, folks, and of course I'm not going to do that. But David James, that lives at 698 Summer Wild Ave, number 2, Logan, Utah, 84321. Would you like his credit card number? Now, that was the last line in the movie Fletch, in case anybody was wondering, which I'm sure they're not. All right, let's have some fun with Mr. Funnelli. Hello, Vince Funnelli.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Pretty frosted.
Vinny, you and I had a conversation earlier today, and in that conversation you relayed something to me. You said that you're getting angry every day on the air now.
Yeah, I am.
And what did I tell you a couple of years ago? Vinny, you're too nice of a guy. You need to get angrier on the air. And you tell me today that you're getting itchy and angry every day.
Yeah, and I got this Hubert 2000 at yahoo.com sends me an email. That's just like the guy that sent you the 2 cents. But this guy didn't have the 2 cents. He says, let's see. It says, subject, your rants. And then the body of the email says, are useless and beyond disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Vince Funnelli being accused of ranting? That's like accusing a flea of being a flea.
Oh, you know what? We have these detractors, and I believe they're basement dwellers. They're hit-and-run drivers. They are peeping Toms. These people do not want to be known. And the only thing that I think that we can do to help them overcome their dysfunction is to expose them, you know, give them the light of day. Because, for example, they have these aliases on websites where comments are allowed. And then they hit and they hit and they hit. and they run. And they're dysfunctional. They can't even use the English language properly. They can't form a complete sentence, let alone a complete thought. So I think we ought to take these guys out. And what I mean by that is let's expose them. Let's out them and show the world who these people really are.
You mean like David James at 698 Summer Wild Avenue number 2 in Logan, Utah, 84321? That guy?
Yeah, that guy. That yeah, guy. And maybe his name is Hubert 2000 at yahoo.com. Maybe that – you know, John, there are a whole bunch of volunteers that do what we do. And then these traitors, these treasonists, want to beat us up. Now, when Google is done bashing us and not allowing search results to come up with things that we post, when they're, and I guess that's what we're going to talk about also.
Yeah.
When they're done with all of us, the only thing that's going to be left is the radio. That's it.
Well, and how much longer do you think that's going to last? Because it is – yeah, what is this feed right now? It's through the internet, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. How much longer do you think that's going to last?
I don't know. That's a $64,000 question. But I can tell you this, that the world is going to be worse off when we go away, because we're the last shot at getting out. And I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. I'm just – it's true. It's absolutely true. Where else are you going to get this kind of information but from the truthful news, the correct news, also known as the alternative news? But we should actually be the news, and they should be the fake news.
Well, there's a story posted on our website, republicbroadcasting.org, giant list of mainstream media fuel hate crime hoaxes meant to frame Trump supporters. I couldn't finish the list yesterday. It was so long. Mm-hmm. And it was just a partial list.
Well, we're on it.
Oh, this is a different list. No, the list that you're referring to here, Mikey, where did we put it? where is that story? It might disappear here. The 400 Google that eliminated.
The title of the article is, bookmark this, over 400 links Google doesn't
there you go.
Doesn't want you to visit. And it was posted 8/29 of 2017. And so there's this list, and their categories. Drudge is on there, Breitbart, InfoWars, Steve Quayle. What really happened? That's Mike Rivero. Rents, Blacklisted News, The Daily Sheeple. I mean, it's a pretty long list.
The Free Thought Project, which does an outstanding job. If anybody sees the police abuse videos or stories, the bulk of those come from the freethoughtproject.com. You've got Judicial Watch on there. You've got Henry Mackow. Well, do they know that Henry Mackow is a Jew? Oh, my goodness. Oh, but that's right. He was a conservative Jew. Oops, can't have that. Joe Miller, Newsbusters. Just to look good, they scratch democracynow.org. Well, Democracy Now! Is fed by the Globalist Ford Foundation. Global Research is on there. Let's see. Veterans Today, well, the guy that runs that admitted that 50% of the stories he puts up on his website he knows is already hogwash before he puts them up. Yeah, thank you very much. The New American. The Sargent Report, The Daily Caller, Mint Press News. I know all of these sites. I've gone to most of these sites. Now, what they're doing with this, folks, is when you do a search and anything related to this, and you've got to know how the AI works out there, you are being limited from going to these sites. Basically, what they're doing here, Vince, is they're scrubbing the voices from, and it's, I'll admit, these are privately owned companies. They're privately owned. They gave the impression that, oh, well, you know, you're free to speak your mind and this, that, and the other. No, you're not. You're being deplatformed. I don't want to go through the entire list there. But on our way to this blackout, and this is really This is really First Amendment stuff here that I'm talking about. They're not allowing us a voice. The stuff is being manufactured. There is a woman that worked for CBS News. And let me pull this up real quickly here, because I want to give people, Vin, I want to give people a idea of how bad this is getting. Now, CBS's Laura Logan bravely calls out establishment media bias. This interview is professional suicide. During an appearance on a podcast last week, CBS News correspondent Laura Logan said, "This interview is professional suicide for me." And she wasn't lying. In a moment of bravery or serious miscalculation, Logan decided to tell the truth. And it wasn't about anything salacious, an extramarital affair, fabricating a story, anything like that. Instead, she said what we all more or less know, the media is biased to the left. The CBS correspondent, best known for reporting from war zones, had made the appearance on Mic Drop podcast with former Navy SEAL Mike Ritlin, who had said that the media was absolutely left-leaning, a huge effing problem, and a disaster for this country. Well, I would appreciate if these guys wouldn't drop F-bombs, you would get a wider reach, but that's neither here nor there. And Logan said, yeah, I agree with it. That's true. The media everywhere is mostly liberal, not just in the U.S., she said, according to Newsbusters. But in this country, 85% of the journalists are registered Democrats. So that's just a fact, right? Well, visually, anybody who's ever been to Israel and been writing, been to the Wailing Wall, has seen the women who have tiny little spot in front of the wall to pray and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. She's not all the way home yet here. But she says, "This my experience has been that the more opinions you have, the more ways that you look at everything in life. Everything in life is complicated. Everything is gray, right?" She continued, "Nothing is black and white." But when it came to the liberal sameness of the media, Logan said it represents problems when it comes to trust. How do you know when you're being lied to? How do you know you're being manipulated? Now, I'm not going to do the rest of the story, but you get the idea here. That I knew this, Vince. You've been listening to me for years. The reason I started this is because I figured out that three networks, humpteen years ago, ABC, NBC, and CBS, where you could turn the channel, they were doing the exact same news story at the exact same time. How does that happen when you have three independent news services and the stories just happen to coincide, and there's the body of information that's being reported to the public through the only three available news networks in this country, and they were all being managed and manipulated back then? Where do you think we're at now? So here comes Donald J. Trump saying the media is fake news. Hell, I knew that 26, 27 years ago. Hell, I knew that when I was 12 years old. Vince, I don't know whether to crap, go blind, wind my wristwatch, get drunk, or just give up the business of radio.
I know. That's why I'm frosted like all the time now. You know, I was just doing a quick look. USA Preparers is in the company of two of these sites. One of them is, of course, Republic Broadcasting. Another one is the Ron Gibson channel on YouTube. And Ron Gibson has Mike Rivero. Mike Rivero and USA Preparers. That's what he does. That's it. And so his channel has been targeted as well. But Mercola, RT.com, Al Jazeera, Survival Blog, Doom and Bloom, that guy's one of our instructors. Guns America, The Liberty Man, that's John Moore. Stan Deo, the Health Ranger. So the list is really kind of impressive. It's the movers and shakers of the media that's exposing the truth, exposing the corruption.
Now, how many liberal websites did you see on that list, man?
Well, I couldn't identify a single one.
I couldn't either. Well, aside from Democracy Now!, you know, they've got to throw one or two under the bus. She's lost viewership to the point that I don't even think Democracy Now!, I haven't heard anybody say the words Democracy Now! In, well, a long, long time. So Amy Goodman, she's pretty much of a write-off anymore. Maybe that's why they put her up there. What about Megyn Kelly? She's going to try to be conservative again. Good luck.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Somewhere, I know
I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you. During the break, Vin, I had a thought. Somebody had sent me over a photograph. Do you remember SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence?
Yeah, I was part of it.
Okay, all right. Well, you know the big dishes they had pointed to the sky looking for intelligence signals?
Yes.
Somebody had sent me a photograph of one of the fields of those big dishes searching the sky for intelligent life. And it's captioned... do you want to know why it's not pointed at the Earth? Because there's no intelligent life down here. We're looking
I thought you were going to say it was pointing at Earth, looking for intelligent life.
Good luck. I think you will probably find an alien race before we find any intelligent life on this planet. The next move here, now they've taken off the gloves. They have let us know their intentions, Vince. Many people have been deplatformed all over the place, Facebook and Twitter and everywhere. This list that they just put out with the information that we just gave you in the first few minutes of this program should be enough to convince everybody that the game is rigged. What I look for next is them to come after the internet. That's the next. They're already doing moves on it in Europe right now. United States is not going to be far behind.
Barry wanted an internet kill switch. Now, I don't know if he got it. He probably did. There probably is an internet kill switch, a selective kill switch.
Are you talking about Barry Sartorial and his partner, Michael?
Yeah, Barry, Michael, and the Rented Children. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And why are they picking on the apes? That's what I want to know. Why are they picking on the apes? Why are they saying that apes look like Michelle?
You know, you're going to end up on this list. You're going to have your own list tomorrow. Now, that could be perceived as being racist, Mr. Finale.
Oh, I'm not talking about being racist.
Oh, okay. You want to qualify that statement, sir?
People are saying that. People are saying that, and they're losing their jobs for saying that.
Even Sovereign Man calls into this program on a regular basis. They even got him. But he's under the economic category.
Yeah. Well, they're how can they possibly deal with the truth, really? They've got to silence it. You know, this is nothing new. Kings have been doing this for a long time. They have problems, and they go and beat up their problems. They go and kill their problems. So pretty soon, you know, when we're all done talking about it, there won't be anybody left. And those that say, geez, what happened to those guys? I wonder where they went.
I don't think people understand what's going on here with the Bernie Sanders and the Ocasio-Cortez. This was really tasteless. The other day, somebody sent me an email and called her occasional Kotex. Now, I don't find that really amusing, but when you really think about it, yeah, okay. But what this is all about...
I called her office.
You did?
I called her office. Yeah, I did.
And?
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, she's got such a loud mouth, there's actually a use for her. And I thought that, and I called and left a message for her New York office that if she really wanted to make the headlines, she could go after smart meters. And she could put a stop to these disease-causing radio frequencies. She could go after them and stop them. And that would put her in the headlines. But I never got a call back. That's over a week ago.
The question I have is, how can Bernie Sanders, or how can a Miss Occasional Cortez out there, how can they raise their hand for the oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution when they are anti-republic? They're pro-democracy and anti-constitution. How can they take a seat in public office in anywhere USA when they can't swear the allegiance? And if they did, they lied, which is what? That is the perfect reason to not let them into office.
Well, I think I know the answer. I asked Dr. Norman Shealy, medical doctor, PhD times three, author of over 30 books, and Native American medicine man, if politicians are defective, literally, mentally and physically defective. And he gave me a one-word answer. Yes. I think that's the answer. They're defective. See, they don't think like we do. They don't think as we do. We are not capable of thinking about the evil things that they conjure up. We don't think like that. We are at a serious disadvantage. Just like that guy, Paul Menard. Paul Menard is a race car. Well, he thinks he's a race car driver. He gets behind the wheel of a race car. Now, race car drivers are athletes. They really are. Mario Andretti, Emerson Fittipaldi, those guys, Al Unser, they were all athletes. And you don't think that, you know, they have to exercise to stay in shape, but they do. Because driving a car is tough.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Menard caused an 18-car crash intentionally at the Daytona 500. Why?
When we get back from the break, I want you to describe how exactly he endangered so many people because he just wanted to win.
Yeah, me first.
We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago. I've had concussions and everything else. And you fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Well, at least it is for now. So, Mr. Menard, is that of the Menard business, Ben?
Yes. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So Paul Menard is the son of the guy who founded Menards. And the race car driver, the guy behind the wheel of the NASCAR race car, is Paul Menard. And his sponsors are Menards and Ford, Goodyear, Motorcraft, Quick Lube, 3M, Valvoline, Mahle, and Moog, and some others. So he's going around this track, and these cars are averaging around 200 miles an hour, plus or minus one or two, literally. So the fastest qualifier is qualifying at about 201 miles an hour. The slowest car is about 198 point something miles per hour. So these cars are, in performance, they're really close. So now it's up to the skill of the drivers. So if you want to win and you just can't seem to get your car to go fast enough, then what you do is you cheat. And that's all you have to do is aim the front of your car and crash into the guy in front of you. But you want to hit the right rear corner of the guy in front of you's race car. And what that causes him to do is lose control, spin out, and go backwards and either slam into the wall or crash into another car. And then what you do is you go around them. This is what's happening. So I'm thinking that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we've got Menards, and his son is acting like this. His father is sponsoring him, and then his father has sales, 11% off. So you can go to Menards, you get the sale flyer or the advertisement or the email, big sale, 11% off everything, and you think you're going to get 11% off. But you go to their store, and then you have to apply for your 11%. But it's not 11% off. What it is 6 weeks later, you get this thing, this mailer, that is a credit that you can spend at the store the next time. And you get your 11% that way.
The next time.
So what they do is they're a greedy bunch, Menards. Because you can see that they are trying to use greed of people to get them to at this 11% off, which hooks them into never being able to leave the store because they get 11% off and then they got to come back and spend that 11%. So they spend even more to get their 11% back. Well, the greed is clearly visible in Paul, the race car driver's behavior, because he is so intent on winning that he's willing to cause a car crash and even kill somebody. But what he did this time was he took out almost half the cars. There are 40 cars in the race, and he takes out 18 of them.
Well,
all on his own.
Vin, I can remember the movie Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise, him calling into his pit boss from the race car, and he goes, rubbing is racing. In that movie, it was a little exaggerated. These guys would have been thrown off the track and banned for running people intentionally into the wall.
Right.
But right. I get your point. There's greedy people out there, but who are the non-greedy people that we have to keep eating cow patties? And speaking of cow patties, Mr. Finelli, your business is raising cows, moo cows for the meat market. And you and I were talking today, and you were telling me, you know, the weather, how it's affected hay production and this, that, and the other. It used to be that you could buy, and everybody's seen them. You might see a trailer going down a highway or even expressway maybe sometimes, depending on how well they have the load secured. But these big round bales of hay, those are half a ton each. Those are 1,000-pounders. What were you able to buy 1,000 pounds of hay for a couple of years ago?
$30 to $35.
Okay, $30 to $35. Okay, so we had some real drought last year, to the point that a lot of these guys, the cow farmers out there, thought, well, I can weather this. I'll just keep my cows. Well, they couldn't find the hay. And it wasn't that they couldn't afford to feed them. Some of them couldn't. But they couldn't find the hay to feed the cows. Mm-hmm. And now, what's a 1,000-pound bale of hay running right now?
About $100.
And where can you locate these bales of hay?
Hardly anywhere.
Exactly.
Not where we are. I mean, our phone is literally ringing off the hook, people begging to get just a few rolls of hay because they are out. There's ice on the ground. It's snowing right now, and people are out of hay. Now, how did this happen? Well, it happened because we had a drought, and I rang the alarm during the summer. I said, wow, this is really bad. It's really bad. We are getting, let's say, 25% of the yield that we used to get, maybe 30-33% at the most. That's what we were getting. And I said, this is going to be bad. So we had a family meeting, and you know, we're a family farm. We talked about what are we going to do? And there are lots of options. One is buy hay. But how do you buy hay when you know it's going to be scarce? So what we did was we sold half of our herd at fire sale prices. We sold our cows so that we could get through the winter on less hay. And we're okay, barely. I mean, our cows are not eating a lot of hay right now.
Well, okay,
they're lean.
All right, now a lot of people don't know cow farming. You know, you have the bull come around and impregnate the female cow, and if the winds are good and the grass gods are good for you, you might have a baby calf, and you might be, if it makes it, and then you get to feed it. But you had to get rid of half of your herd, which affects what? Your bottom line next year, right?
We killed the goose that laid the golden egg. Yeah, that's what we did.
But here,
we actually sold the goose.
But here's the thing. How many people were dumping cows on the market last year?
Well, a bunch, and that's why the prices went down. I mean, literally, I did a quick thumbnail calculation on how this works. It is unbelievable how farmers are going under. There's no way they're going to be able to survive this because a cow eats 30 pounds of hay a day. And at the current price of 10 cents a pound, so you take that 1,000-pound roll at $100, that's 10 cents a pound, the cow eats $3 a day. So you feed your cows for roughly 4.5 months in Missouri. That's 135 days. 135 days times $3 a day is $405. So if you buy a cow for $500 and then you feed it $405 worth of hay, plus, you know, some other things that you have to do, like you have to give them minerals and supplements and, you know, the things that you have to do in order to, you know, just keep that cow. That's assuming you have a free farm, you have free equipment, and you have no interest on anything. Everything is owned free and clear, and nothing breaks, and nobody dies. And you buy a cow for $500, you feed that cow, you keep it for a year, you spend $405 on feed, and then you go and sell that cow for $900.
And
how's that going to work?
Okay, all right. So $900, that doesn't say anything. Okay, so we got a cow. How much does that break down per pound that you get, you know, pound on the hoof at the auction?
Okay, well, here are some of the numbers. If you have a 550-pound heifer, you would get, well, about $1.32 is what you'd get for it. And okay. $726.
Okay, and all right. So you got how much into this cow, and then you take it to market? What's your profit margin there?
Okay, well, this is kind of a moving target. It's really hard to nail it down on the radio. But you've got about $405 in feed, and you're going to sell it for $900, and it paid $500 for it. So you're down $5.
So you're not even breaking even.
Well, that's without the taxes. See, the government corporation is going to charge you tax for that particular cow to keep it for a year. They say, how many you got? We want $5 a head for you to keep your own cows. Then you have, when you go to sell them, then you have the auctioneer's fee, you've got the hay fee, you've got the marketing fee, you've got the veterinary inspection fee, and it goes on and on and on. So you're looking at, you know, roughly 10 cents a pound minimum per cow to sell the cow, which is like 10%. It's unbelievable. So what I'm saying is farmers are going to go under, and that's like a good situation. Let me tell you a bad situation. So let's talk about slaughter cows. Now, a slaughter cow is an older cow, that, you know, has seen better days. So you want to sell that cow before it dies. Who would buy those kind of cows? Well, you know, the fast food joints would want those. And, you know, maybe it hurt its leg, maybe it's limping a little bit, but, you know, it's okay, but, you know, it's not going to last 5 more years. That cow might bring, hold on to your hats, 30 cents a pound. 30 wow. cents a pound.
Wow.
Now, if you kept that cow for a year, it cost you $405 to feed that cow that you're going to get $300 for. This is a tremendous losing proposition. And I believe if you follow the logic and what I'm saying, farmers are going to go under. The only way that a family farm can survive is if all family members are working. Everybody's got to be working on the farm. What's really happening in family farms is, let's say dad is working. Dad has a job, and he's working 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. Mom is home with the child, the child, and she's taking care of the farm during the day. Dad comes home and works on the farm at night, relieves her, and his income pays for the farm. Now, that all works barely until the truck breaks. And when the truck breaks, everything falls apart. Or if somebody gets sick, everything falls apart. And I'm not exaggerating. That's really the way it is.
Okay, so, Vinny, you're not going to live forever, are you?
No.
You're not going to be raising cows 30 years from now, are you?
Probably not.
Okay. So who are the cow farmers of the future going to be?
Well, that's a really good question, and the answer is very few, because it's too hard. It's really, really hard. It's, you know, you can't call in sick because you have to feed the cows. You can't call in sick when the fence breaks, a tree falls down on the fence and takes down the fence, because if you don't go fix it right now, the cows are going to get out. Now you have a really big problem. Then you have problems with, like, equipment. You need a cattle trailer. You know, I figured out, I sat down at the kitchen table with our son, you know our son, and I said, let's build the least cost farming equipment setup that we can do. What would be the minimum entry? What would be the absolute least that somebody could get by being a farmer? And our son came up with the number right off the top of his head, 50 grand. So it would take 50,000 if you buy used, barely working equipment, the absolute minimum. So, like, for example, a used 85 horsepower tractor at 11,500, a baler that needs repair, 8,000, a hay rake, 3,000, a hay mower, 5,000. This is all equipment that you're going to have to weld together, you know, patch it back together, fix it, maintain it. You know, it's all going to need more money to make it all work. You're going to need a truck. Maybe get a 3/4 ton truck for 15,000, kind of like a 2005 model, 14-year-old truck. A trailer for about 5,000. Then you need that's to haul the hay around to get it home. Then you need a stock trailer for 5,500. You need a $3,000 corral. You need fencing at $1.50 a foot. So you need $4,000 worth of fencing for 20 acres. You're well over 50 grand right now. That's the absolute minimum for a broken down farm.
And folks, you guys don't know this, but I do. Ben and I have been friends for years, been to his farm many times, just was up there this past Christmas. And this guy, if it weren't for his hard work and dedication to what he does to hold his costs down for farming, if you had to rely on other people to fix your equipment, to lay out the expenditures. In other words, you take the Mr. Vince, I can fix it finale out of the picture. Would you have been bankrupt already?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, here's the luxury that a lot of farmers now, as hardworking and independent as they are, I've never seen anybody that's like you. I mean, you'll rip apart anything. You'll rebuild engines. First of all, you know what you're looking at when you see it. You see the value in it. You can calculate in your own head, okay, what it's going to take to repair this thing, how much time I'm going to have to spend. You even have a salt spreader up there that you're going to convert to spreading lime on your property, because you get these little noxious weeds that poke out your cow's eyeballs when they try to feed on the grasses in the field. That thing, when I was up there, I said, Vin, can I start this thing? And you go, yeah, sure. Well, there was a little problem. The battery's a little bit low. But I didn't wait for the plugs to glow, because it was a diesel, and I tried to start it, and all it did was ran the battery down. Well, we put some jumpers on it, got the battery, enough charge in there, turned on the key before I hit the ignition to allow the glow plugs to glow, and the thing fired right up. Now, how much did that truck cost new, Vince?
Oh, I would guess around maybe 100 grand.
And you bought it for how much?
5,000.
You see my point, folks. If it wasn't for the inventiveness of this guy to take care of his stuff, and I'm beginning to think, Vince, that there isn't anything, given enough time, and I must say this and make this admission on the air, I underestimated your intelligence, because I don't think there is anything that you put your mind to that you couldn't figure out and fix or redo or recreate or whatever the case may be.
Well,
this is the kind of guy that's on from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey. Well, John, I have to fix things. I have to be innovative, because that's the only way we can survive. This is literally survival mode of the small family farm. And for example, there's no hay right now. If there were 100 rolls of hay in our area of the Ozarks, that would be a lot.
Wow.
Now, a typical herd will eat 3 bales a day.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Hey, let me sneak this caller in here. He's been holding on forever. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Vince. That is the toughest segue I've ever had calling your show. I was calling about the censorship when you spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
And you guys are 100% right. You're totally on target. I know when they crash digital, we have to be analog. And I think people need to be prepared for when that happens, because it's happening as we speak. And we need email chains. We need addresses. We need all of those kind of things, or else it is going to go by the wayside.
Mike, here's a flash for you. Guess who is still on the analog satellite?
You are.
Bingo.
And this is.
And we will be. Do you know how many years ago? It's been over 25 years ago. When I started the first network, Republic Radio International, I was told, oh, no, you got to go digital. No, that's the new thing. You got to go digital. I said, no, I need the mostest for the leastest. I'm going to go analog. Well, you know, that's crazy. You can do radio and analog. I said, yeah. I said, do you know how many dishes are still out there, those 8-foot and 12-foot monsters still sitting on people's property? You might have to put a new feed horn on it, get another box to pick up the channels, but guess what? It's still going to be there, and it's still there. And now you can go out and buy these satellite dishes to get networks such as this. I mean, Vince, you had the guy at your expos. How much were these doggone dishes?
Which dishes are you talking about? The 8 and 12?
No.
Or are you
talking about
the small ones?
I'm talking about the small one. You had a guy
$200.
$200. You don't have to pay any other fees. There's no service, anything. You can get one of these small dishes. What are they, about 2.5 feet across now?
About, yeah. That's right.
You
need is a little fence post, a round fence post. I think they're 1 5/8 inches in diameter. Mm-hmm. Sink it in some concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Aim your antenna up. I mean, there was a guy in Germany around the 40s, and he had this kind of a salute. And if you look at the angle he had his hand up in the air, that's about the angle you'd aim the antenna at.
And folks,
that's
and,
how I do it.
You know, I do a lot of forward thinking, and I can remember I lost a talk show host because one of our hosts that was associated with the network, I had a decision to make. We were on the Big Bird, the big digital bird, which was costing me $5,000 a month to expand the network out, to make it available to more AM and FM stations out there. When we got in a money crunch, guess what satellite I dropped? The digital bird, the more expensive one. The analog satellite never went away. And it hasn't since this network has been online.
Well, so, and I hope people are preparing mentally for this. I know a lot of your listeners are. I know you are, obviously. Vince clearly is. And the two more quick points. One, the farmers out here end up selling their land for aerial antennas so they can put in the 5G to kill us all.
Oh, God.
Make some extra money. And they go deep into debt, which is just horrific.
And on top of that, they end up with a bad case of cancer.
Yeah. So yeah. God bless you, Vinny, for keep doing what you're doing. And you too, John. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your patience and holding. And wait a minute here. Something's coming through the airwaves at me.
Come in, Florida. God's waiting room. Are you there?
Florida checking in.
You know, Vince, did you hear about this gentleman's evil eye he's been giving people?
Yeah.
Vince?
I don't think Vince knows the story yet.
Vince?
Tell me about the story.
He's been giving people the evil eye, and I'm surprised he still has his head attached to his shoulders. He had cancer surgery done. When was that, Steve?
Tuesday.
Now, there's only one problem. They took out a hunk of skin probably the size of a basketball out of his forehead. No, I'm just teasing. I asked him, I said, why didn't they do a graft off your backside and put it up there? But what happened is they had to cut out that cancerous skin, and they drew up the skin. Now his eyebrow is cocked up somewhere over his hairline.
Yeah. It's up high. People are looking at me. What? Don't you trust me? I'm telling you the truth. Your eyes raised. Your eyebrows raised at me.
Now, Vince, yeah, this is not sad, because this is the get back for him calling me Mr. Claw.
Yep.
You know, here I've got this affliction where my fingers won't straighten out right, and he's making jokes about it. You know, Mr. Sensitivity here.
Yeah.
Is that because of hamburgers?
That's right. Wimpy. That's right.
Okay. Most of the audience is not going to understand your inside jokes if you're really inside. So, at any rate.
John likes hamburgers.
No, gladly pay you on Tuesday, right? Hey,
by the way, John and Steve, just as a news flash, the USDA, also known as USDA, in December decided that pink slime, which is the connective tissue of cows, is beef. So what was happening is stores like Food Lion and others were adding this filler product that's treated with ammonia gas, literally, added, put in a centrifuge, ground up, and so you can chew it, is added back to ground beef, and it's called beef. So we've got about 15% more filler in the ground beef, which is now beef plus this pink slime.
Right.
So McDonald's was caught using pink slime, and then they backed off and said, no, we don't use pink slime anymore. Well, now they can, because now it's beef.
Now it's declared beef.
You know, what I do is when I go into the Chinese factory outlet, which is also known as Walmart, and I see the guy in the lab coat, you know, he's the guy in the meat department that runs the meat department, I ask him, y'all still put pink slime in your meat? And I make sure that it's loud enough for him to hear me and everyone else. And you know what he says? Yes. Yes.
Well, I think it's also a color enhancer, isn't it? Kind of makes it look like it's fresh, and it's fresh meat, so it's also a color enhancer.
Don't they also use bleach?
Yes, chlorine, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah, why am I getting a picture here instead of eating a burger? I'm just tilting back a jug of Clorox.
Well, it's going to fix your hand in the long run.
You know, joking aside here, Steve, have you heard him cough one time since he's been on air?
No, not at all. He's doing good.
Isn't this amazing? Mm-hmm. Vince, we almost lost Vince Vannelli. And I'm not kidding you, folks. This guy almost died. And thank God that he's still here. I mean, you've heard his show. I mean, he'd be talking, and all of a sudden, and then he'd keep talking. He got this wonderful rhythm where he could actually cough and not lose cadence in a sentence he was speaking. He got really good at it.
You know, one of our detractors had the sensibility to send me an email saying, you know, why don't you take some cough drops or something? The guy had no idea that I was coughing up blood for years. No idea. But he was going to tell me how to fix it.
People think they know what they know, and they don't really know. All right. Yeah. I got Vin Finelli with me, Steve Elkins. You guys hang on. I got to take top of the hour break here. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Very rarely do I get the opportunity to have both you guys together. So, and this isn't Monday, is it, Steve?
No, it's not. It's Tuesday.
Okay, so we can say that you were up at Vinny's at Christmas time?
Yep. Yep, we're
okay.
Good.
We're good. We were good. All three up there together. Ooh, boy. Think about that combination. Three of us in the same room, folks. We'll be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.